If you would open your Bibles to John chapter 1. I want to encourage you, like I've been encouraging the teen class every Sunday, to bring your own copy of God's Word. If you don't have a copy of God's Word and you're having a hard time getting one, we'll make a way. We'll get you one. We'll get you a really good one. But bring your Bibles so you can mark it up and rip it up and read it up the way you want to, and it's your copy. We're going to be reading from John chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse number 15. And I'm going to read again from our own Greek class translation. John chapter 1, starting at verse 15, and I'll read to verse number 34. John continues to testify concerning him. He cries out with a loud voice of a prophet, saying, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me existed before me and is greater than me.' Because of the fullness of him, we all have received an inexhaustible grace, grace after grace. For the law through Moses was given, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only, the one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has revealed him. This was the witness of John when the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites with a commission to question him and to inquire, 'Who are you?' He freely confessed and did not deny anything, saying, 'I am not the Messiah.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you a prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you?' In order that we may give an answer to the ones who sent us, 'What do you say concerning yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah, 'I am a voice crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord.' Now some Pharisees who had been sent asked him, 'Why then do you immerse if you are not the Christ, neither Elijah nor the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I immerse in water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one coming after me, whose sandals I am not even worthy to take off. These things happened in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was immersing. The following day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God, the one who has taken away the sin of the world. This is the one of whom I said, a man is coming after me who is superior to me, and he existed before me. I myself did not know him, but so that he might be revealed to Israel, I came immersing in water. Then John testified, saying, I saw the Spirit come down out of heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to immerse in water told me, the one on whom you should see the Spirit come down and remain on him, he is the one immersing in the Holy Spirit. I have seen and have testified that this one is the Son of God.'" Certain things that we must consider in life. When you look at what you have, when you look at, say, family, you know, I just can't imagine my life without Christy. It's just hard for me to imagine life without Christy, or to imagine life without my daughters, Caitlin or Kira. But there are other important things that we ought to consider. You know, what if you had one and not the other? For instance, what if you had Tom and no Jerry? What if you had Sammy and no Dean? Sonny and no Cher? What if you had Salt and no Pepper? What if you had Peaches, no Herb? Cool and no Gang? Gladys Knight, no Pips? What if you had Romeo and no Juliet? Or Peanut Butter, no Jelly? Tweedledee, no Tweedledum? And the most important, what if you had Kool-Aid and no sugar? Oh, yeah, people get freaked out when you say that, especially my teens, because we have Kool-Aid every Sunday. When you read the beginning of John, the prologue and this beginning narrative concerning John the Baptist, you're almost made to wonder, what would the life of Jesus be if not for John the Baptist? Or what would Jesus have been without John the Baptist? Now some of us would come up with very, you know, provocative answers and say, well, if God didn't use John the Baptist, he would have used someone else. And that might be true, but still we're made to wonder, what would the life of Jesus, what would the ministry of Jesus would have been like without John the Baptist? I mean, John the Baptist, and I call him John the Baptist, that's what they call him because he baptized. That was, you know, sort of his job. He was a person who immersed people, John the Immerser. I mean, all of our Gospels, but all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all include stories about John the Baptist. When you look at, you know, the similarities and differences between all the Gospels, there are varying degrees of all types of information. There are stories that you see in John that you don't see in Mark, and stories you see in Mark that you don't see in Luke, and so forth and so on. But all of them start off their Gospels with something about this guy named John the Baptist. John the Baptist played a major role in this unfolding drama of Jesus Christ. And we're seeing it unfold right before our eyes. John the Baptizer, as we know him, is mentioned in the prologue, the first beginning verses of John, this hymn or poem, as many would call it, as one who was sent by God in verses 6 through 8. He was sent by God to be a witness, to give testimony, and to point people to the genuine light. That is Jesus Christ. In the prologue, he makes it clear that this John was not the genuine light, but only one who would point people to the true and genuine light. Given the strong preaching and teaching by John as a witness, there would be great temptation in his day to look at John as being that one that God had sent to be the light, that John would be the one to be the Messiah. There probably was great temptation for those who heard John's preaching, who saw him immersing people in water. There was a great temptation to say, that must be him. That is the Messiah. But again, in the Gospel of John, we're told that John was not this Messiah. He was not this expected one, but that he was a forerunner, that he was one called to prepare the way for this great Messiah. John's role was so important that the Gospel of John includes a great deal of information regarding him and his early ministry. In our reading today, we are moved to focus on the ministry and witness of John immediately. We are given a window, or provided a window, to look into the soul and the spirit and the heart of John. And as we look into the heart and the spirit of this great man, John the Baptizer, we see a man who knew his role, who knew that he was ordained by God, that he was chosen, picked out amongst several people in his country, several people amongst his family. He was chosen as the one who would be the light bearer, who would bear the light of Jesus, who would point people to the light of the Messiah. A sect of the Jews who were becoming consumed by the ministry of John, they sent investigators to get the scoop on this guy, John. They wanted to know what he was talking about. What was he preaching? They wanted to ask him, was he the Messiah? And John answered in a word, no. Well, are you Elijah? No. Are you some other prophet from the past? No. John's first act of testifying was to deny that he was who people thought he was. His first act of testifying was to say, I am not the Messiah. I am not the one that people of old had talked about. I am not the one that God in the Old Testament through his prophets said that he would send one who was going to come and suffer and come and redeem his people back to him. I'm not that one. His first act of testimony was self-denial. And in the future, we're going to look at Jesus as he makes very emphatic statements in John in saying that I am. He'll say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to know that John uses the same language to deny that he's the Messiah. He uses the same words with the addition of the negative. I am not him. John took it upon himself not to leave doubters out there. to let people know that I am not the Christ. And certainly the evil one was right there with John, tempting John. As John's ministry grew, as John's ministry began to spread throughout that area, certainly the evil one was there whispering in his ear, take all the credit. When they say, are you the Messiah? Say, yeah, I'm it. Take all the credit. Get all the notoriety. Get all the props. Get people to hail you as the king. Get people to hail you as the one that's going to redeem Israel. But John's first act of testimony and witness for God was to say, I'm not him. John knew his rightful place as a tool and as an instrument of God's will. John's second act of testifying was to display his personal excitement about the Messiah. Verse number 29, and I hope you heard it in the reading, John exclaims, look, there he is, the guy I've been telling you about, the guy I've been preaching about, the guy I've been immersing and saying make straight, you know, the way for the Lord. This is the guy. Look, there he is right there. Oh, to see that excitement and to feel that excitement through this text. Oh, it's an excitement that I wish we all had when it came to talking about Jesus Christ. It's an excitement that I wish people in the world would see, that they would see this window into our hearts and our souls, that they would see this excitement of knowing that we know who Jesus Christ is, that we know that he's the Lamb of God, that we know that he's the Son of God, that we know that he's the Messiah, that we know that he's a Redeemer, that we know that he's God in flesh. Oh, to have that excitement. Part of John's testimony was being excited and being joyous about knowing who this Jesus was. That he had an encounter with God as he was chosen to bear witness and to tell people that this was the light. There was excitement there, not burden. There was excitement there, not duty. There was excitement there that flowed freely from this guy's heart and his soul and his spirit. Having had an encounter with God, having had an encounter with Jesus Christ, he displayed it in his testimony. He gave a confession that we are in a sinful state, and that the good news that has appeared on the scene is that because the Lamb of God is here, we no longer have to walk in our sinful state. We no longer have to walk in a state of despair. We no longer have to walk in a state of oppression. But that the Liberator is here. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Look! There he is. Are we like that? Are we like that in our world, in our homes? Are we like that on our jobs? Are we like that in our school? I'm not talking about someone who just goes around, you know, shouting things out all the time, but living a life that always points to Jesus. Living a life that somehow tries to tell people that there is an answer to your life. There's an answer to your issue. There's an answer to where you're at. There's a way out of where you're at, and it's called Jesus Christ. And do we display that same vigor and excitement that John the Baptist? Yes, part of his testifying, part of him being a witness, was him being excited about knowing who Jesus was. We no longer have to walk around as if we're condemned or defeated. We now can walk around saved and victorious. Amen? So an expression of pure joy, excitement about what God is about to do with the inhabitants of the earth, he shouts, look, there he is, the one I've been talking about and preaching about, the one I've been saying was going to come on the scene and take hold of us like we've never seen before. This is him. I'm not him. That's him. In John's world, it was all about Christ. And in John's world, it was all about the dawning of a new kingdom, a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of loving. In John's world, it was about the declining of his prominence and the ministry of Jesus taking center stage. And there were no hard feelings. John had no hard feelings about his ministry declining and the ministry of Jesus taking center stage. No disappointments. John would gladly fade away in order that his kinsmen and kinswomen would come to this eternal light, Jesus Christ, and that they would prepare themselves to be immersed in the Spirit of God. And so it is our role today, as followers of Jesus, that we are to be equally missional as John the Baptist in reflecting our relationship with God through Jesus Christ in such a way as to proclaim that this is the way to the Lord. This is the way to get to Jehovah through Jesus Christ and no other. That this relationship with God through Jesus Christ would reflect in all that we do. It's all about Jesus and not about me. It's all about Jesus, not about my ministry. It's all about Jesus, not my preferences. It's all about Jesus. While we accept our roles as God's chosen ones, we too declare that the kingdom of God is here. It's among us. And we equally must resist the temptation of the evil one to prop ourselves up to be more than we really are. It's not I. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Yes, God has given us freely gifts and talents and things that we can do well. And I urge you and encourage you to continue to do those things as well as you ought, well as you can. Get better at it. But at the end of the day, church, it's still all about Jesus. John was bold. He was vocal. He must have been a pretty good preacher. He had a ton of followers. But it wasn't about John. It was about Jesus. And oh, what an example of one who could have stood there and taken all the credit, reflected everything upon himself, said, deflect everything to him, said, look at who I am. Look at who I've been out here in this wilderness. I've been doing all these things. I've been doing it for years. Look at how good I am. But he never did it. He said, it's all about Jesus. So it should be with us today. It's all about Jesus. We are not the Christ, but Christ lives in us. We are the ones who are benefactors of that grace, grace after grace, inexhaustible grace. John's message that the Christ is here, that the Lamb of God is here, means that we all can be participants and recipients of that great grace. And church, we today in the 21st century, we collectively are now the collective voice in the wilderness, crying out with a loud voice, make straight the way for the Lord. Later on in the Gospel of John, a couple chapters over in John chapter 3, there arose a situation where John was still immersing, and Jesus and his disciples were immersing, and there were groups saying, hey, John, that guy you were talking about, that guy you were getting all excited about over the river there, you know, he's now doing the same thing that you're doing. And here's the response of John. John answered, people can't receive anything unless it has been given to them from heaven. You are witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. The groom is the person to whom the bride belongs. The best man who stands and listens to him is overjoyed when the groom speaks. This is the joy that I feel. And listen to this. John says, he must increase in importance, while I must decrease in importance. It's not a cliche to say that this is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. This is one of the foundational statements in the Bible. That John however important his ministry was, viewed it as something that ought to just be, you know, over time just blown away. His importance decreased as the importance of Jesus and his ministry increased. It's equally not a cliche to say that in our own lives. In our own lives, that the presence of Jesus increases as the presence of Dion decreases. Huh? That the presence of Jesus in Jenny's life increases as the presence of Jenny's life decreases. Paul would say it in the letters, "My life is Christ." Church, it's all about Jesus Christ. And John started it off. I don't know where we would be if there was Jesus and no John the Baptist. I just thank God that he's given us such a wonderful reminder and example through this narrative, through this encounter, that our mission is to preach Jesus Christ and nothing else. That our role is to preach Jesus Christ and not our agenda. That our role is to preach Jesus Christ and not a system, not our system. Jesus Christ. May we be that voice in the wilderness. When people are tempted to give us props, to raise us up, to put us on a pedestal, for us to say, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the very poignant picture of humility and sense of role and mission that we see in John the Baptizer. Father, we're not talking about John right now in a way to worship him or to elevate him over your son Jesus. But God, we do recognize him as a vital key player in your mission to get to us. You sent John ahead of your son Jesus to prepare the way, encouraging us to make a path for you to come into our lives through the ministry of Jesus Christ. So God, we just want to give you praise for what this man did for us. Likewise, God, we want to pray for that same spirit that you blessed him with. God, give us that same spirit of urgency and excitement and recognition of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah has come to do and what the Messiah will do if we just say yes to him. God, I pray for the boldness. I pray for the courage. Father, I pray that somehow Your spirit would continue to just operate on us and penetrate us so that our lives would just be an ongoing witness, that of John the Baptist. And that when asked, what is this all about? Why are you doing what you're doing? Who are you? That the words that would flow out of our mouth, that would flow from the depths of our soul, that we are Christ Jesus, that we do this because of Jesus Christ. We're doing all this because of Jesus Christ. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. And God, because we live in an area, in a society of arrogance and pride, may we take pride in this single fact alone. That you made the first move and came to us, lived in our neighborhood, put on flesh, made a way for all men and women to get back to you. The only way to get back to you is through your Son, Jesus Christ. May Jesus Christ be our single witness to this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that we will, again, embody this spirit individually and as a body. Will you stand with me, and as we sing this song, this worship song, if you have any needs on your heart, if you desire prayers, if you desire to come into contact with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, if you want to be buried in baptism, if you want to be resurrected a new creature, ready to live a new life, ready to become that voice crying out, make straight the way for the Lord, I pray that you would come.